We got 17 pings at the minute.
Is that all?
Great. I was on a crisp 12 pings.
I'm on 17.
I'm not looking at my pings because, one, I don't know where to find them, and two, I don't really care.
I haven't been able to see my ping for years. Since I let myself go.
Oh, you don't know how true that is. Oh, fucking dear. Hell.
Oh, Lewis.
And that is exactly what's coming right before the intro, I can already tell.
Welcome to the Theming and Meming Podcast, the most immersive podcast on the internet. Here's your hosts, Lewis, Jess, and Jake.
What's up, guys? My name's Evil Lewis, and welcome to another episode of the Theming and Meming Podcast. I would like to introduce my esteemed co-hosts, the man who was responsible for literally several good theme park memes, Jake.
Literally a handful of memes. That were good.
Oh, yeah. So many, you can count them. And also, also the Northeast's favourite person. It's Jess.
That was
not as good as last time.
Can we get done for libel for lying about that? Because nobody likes me.
Oh, that's not true.
No, we cannot. Before we get started, we want to thank you guys for the pretty much universally positive response to the first episode.
Yeah, we really appreciate. We're almost at like 140 subs.
Yeah,
the view count's pretty good.
Yeah, it was pretty healthy. I thought. People seem to enjoy it. You guys seem to enjoy it, so thank you. We do appreciate it. And, you know.
It's nice to read comments that aren't just, fucking die, you're being nasty.
Get cancer, die in a fire.
Like, literally.
So if you want to leave anything like that, you know where to put it in the comments down below.
I will have several furious masturbation sessions over it.
Literally several.
Well, that's a good way to start the podcast, talking about it was sex toys last time and it's masturbation this week.
Oh, fuck's sake.
So, we're going to jump into the sort of news, which isn't really news, but kind of is. That doesn't sound very good, does it?
Thought Park Fright Nights
and all the awesome announcements that we've had this year.
Awesome announcements. Awesome in a good way or in a do you need a safe space kind of way?
No, oh, you can be fair. Shut up, Lewis.
Awesome. Hello. Way.
Good.
Nah, it does look really good. I'm really like the look of the Blair Witch stuff.
And they like released like a maze that no one knew about or something the other day, which I can't remember the name of, which is good. But there's 11 scare attractions, like including the scare zones and stuff.
Yeah.
It's got to be the biggest now in the UK by far, if it wasn't already, just in terms of number of attractions.
And quality, I think.
Yeah, so I've only done Scarefest at Towers, and I haven't done that for a couple of years, but I really loved it. It was the first year that Subspecies and all that came out, and Molly Crow and stuff like that, and that was amazing. Molly Crow not so much, but Subspecies was really, really good. It was like the most intense maze that I'd done at the time.
I'm really bad at scare mazes, like excruciatingly bad at them.
They don't really scare me, I just really enjoy like walking around and seeing the sets and all the actors and everything like that. I think it's a really fun thing to just
immerse yourself in. When I did because in Universal Studios Hollywood, they have a permanent Walking Dead scare maze that's there like all year round. And when I went to Universal Studios Hollywood, I did a VIP tour, so they took us around all of the attractions. And they were like, everyone has to go through this. It's not that scary. It's really good. I was fucking shitting myself. It was fucking scary.
I have a confession.
You've not done one of you.
I've never done a scare maze.
Whoa. I was a scare actor for 2 years. I think that's why they don't really scare me, because I've done it. And like when I go through them, I sort of look around and like try and appreciate like all the different stuff they've put into it.
Yeah. I think I'd be a really good scare actor.
It's so much fun. Like, I wish I could do it this year, but,
It does seem like it would be a shitload of fun.
It is. It can be dangerous though. People.
Yeah, because you get punched by chubby dickheads.
Yeah, exactly. I remember one time I was at I'm not going to say what it was, but I was at an attraction where I had like an air gun, and like you could shoot it at people, and obviously it didn't actually fire.
An air cannon, not like an air pistol that fires small lead pellets.
Yeah, like one that's
that would be a scary attraction.
And I remember I shot this woman's like Air Maxes or something.
Right.
And she's like, you're going to get my Air Maxes wet, I'm going to fucking smack you and all this. I was like,
oh, nice.
But people get offended when you scare them, even though they've paid to come and get scared by you. It's really weird. Like, a lot of people find it offensive.
To be fair, I'd like that.
What, you just threaten the actors?
I don't threaten the actors, but like when I was going through The Walking Dead, luckily I avoided most of the big scares because the two girls in front of me were fucking screaming. So all of the walkers were like just gunning for them. But I got a couple of scares and I was like, fuck off!
Well, I think there's a difference between doing that and just being like looking at an actor and going, saying I'm going to beat you up. Yeah. But I do swear when I go around them when I get scared. But like, I don't direct it at the actor and say how much I hate them.
Like, there was legit kids in this maze with me and I was like, get fucked!
they shouldn't be there.
These little American kids. Problem. They probably couldn't understand what you were saying anyway.
These little bairns who are creasing at these walkers walking around and they were like, putting their arms out at us, and I was like, fuck off! Get away from us, you fucking diseased cunts.
Some of the worst ones are the people.
Mommy, what's a diseased cunt?
Why does her voice sound so weird?
Fuck's sake.
One of the worst things is like when they're like, you can't touch me, you're not allowed to touch me, and like people who just go around like trying to ruin it for the staff as much as they can. It's like, again, why are you here?
Yeah.
But you know, it is still so awful, you know.
See, that doesn't even help me. I could sit and tell myself for ages, like, they're not going to touch you. It's fine. But scare actors are so good at getting literally as close as they possibly can without touching you that it doesn't matter because I'm still frightened that I'm going to get fucking stabbed.
It is crazy that, like, you can sit in a strobe maze for hours on end and be constantly strobed in your eyes and you've still got, like, such good coordination and you know where everything is. You know how close you can get to somebody. It's definitely, like, a skill you pick up as you go along.
Yeah.
But you do sure sometimes. Is, yeah. But if you ever accidentally touch someone, even the slightest, people will like shout the house down about that you've like hit them or something. It's
you've assaulted them.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. Know,
hopefully I'm going to be going to Scarefest this year, so that'll be my first time at any kind of scare event.
I'm thinking about it.
Maybe we should meet up.
Okay.
Let's all go together.
Well, I am genuinely a bit anxious about the idea of doing scare mazes, purely because I haven't done them before. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm a big fucking baby too, so you can come through with me.
It's literally the whole fear of the unknown thing, because again, I know, like, my logical brain is like, it's all just like, it's theatre, basically. It's just a set, it's props, it's actors.
Yeah, it's not real.
And I think actors, like, I don't want to do a disservice to the people who work in scare attractions, but someone said to me not too long ago that they found it hard to get scared at scare mazes. I think they were specifically referring to Alton Towers, because you know in the back of your mind that it's just some kid from Stoke with face paint on and that's not that scary.
It's fucking scary. Like, that's people who are fucking like Hollywood actors.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, I'm probably going to be less frightened of a cunt from Stoke with fucking fake blood on his face.
Yeah, and, like, my missus is kind of, she's a bit more anxious about it. And, like, she's genuinely worried that she's going to, like, freak out and have an actual meltdown and they're going to have to e-stop the maze because of her. And she's going to have to be like, sorry, guys, my bad. I couldn't handle it, so now none of you can do the maze either.
If it makes it feel any better, like, with my anxiety and everything, that was my big panic when I was going through that that Walking Dead maze. I was like, if they even do one thing that, like, triggers a panic attack, that's it. Like, I'm done. I'll never do it again. But, it's honestly, like, it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is. It's so much fun.
This is the thing.
It's one of those things where you get afraid and you're like, fuck you cunt, fuck off. And then you laugh about it for like 20 minutes.
Well, exactly like when you're watching a scary movie. I'm a big fan of scary movies. Me and the missus watch quite a lot of them. More often than not, scary movies rely on cheap-ass jump scares. They're not clever, but they are effective for the most part. And whenever one happens, you jump, and then we sit there and swear at the TV, and call the film a fucking dickhead because it made you jump out of your skin for that split second, and then you laugh about it and go, "Ha ha, that was good though. Fair play to them for making us jump." And I can imagine it's exactly the same, but in real life. So
Yeah, I think one of the most fun parts about going to them is going with somebody who's really scared.
Yeah.
Because I don't actually get that scared by them. I think it's because I've sort of gotten so used. I think it's the same thing as coasters. Once you've done the scary coasters, nothing really seems scary to you anymore. Coasters can still seem good, but you don't get I would not get nervous to go on Nemesis anymore.
No.
It's sort of the same thing with mazes. For me, it's all about just going around and seeing other people's reactions. Like my friends screaming. It's I do walk around them laughing. Not in an offensive way to the actor saying, "Haha, you're not funny," but just seeing everyone's reactions is so much fun.
Yeah, and again, I literally think it's largely just the whole fear of the unknown thing. Again, like you were saying with coasters, if the first time you go on something like Oblivion, for example, it's shit scary. But once you've done it a few times, it's still you still get that little at the top of the, just before you drop. But that's about it. It's still an equally thrilling experience, but it doesn't terrify you anymore. It kind of also goes into what I was saying on the last episode about big, scary, fun fair and flat rides. That again, I think part of the thing that the issue I have with those is that I've not really done too many of them. And do you know what I mean? Some of the bigger, more intimidating fun fair and flat rides are intimidating because I haven't ridden them. And sorry, I think I'm that not... if I did, it wouldn't be too bad. What were you going to say, Jess?
My Domino's is here. That was all. That was,
thanks for the update. I'm sure the listeners will rest at ease knowing that you get to eat pizza.
I only eat margarita pizza.
You boring bastard.
I have double olives on mine. I'm a fucking lunatic.
Fucking olives? Wow.
Yeah.
That's gross.
I'd have gherkins on pizza if I could. I eat them whole.
No, I'm really fussy. With food, really bad.
Everyone just unsubscribed and disliked the video.
Everyone's what the fuck kind of nutcase?
Yeah.
If you're going to dislike it, just please make sure you comment below to say disliking for gherkins.
Oh, people are going to do that now.
Don't encourage them.
Yeah, people are going to do
that. All right,
well,
we'll just get it trending then. Hashtag disliking for gherkins. Let's get that on Twitter or something. Something that won't actually harm our YouTube analytics.
Or hashtag like for gherkins if you're a gherkin fan,
I like a gherkin. Haters. Don't get me wrong, right? Gherkins on your fast food burgers, delicious. And also,
some gherkins on your hot dogs.
I've never had a gherkin on a... Oh, wait, have I had a gherkin on a hot dog? Yes, I have.
I thought you said gherkins on a Pop-Tart, and I was like, yo, no.
I would eat a gherkin-flavoured Pop-Tart, definitely.
Oh, fuck up, no.
Have you ever put butter on a Pop-Tart?
Could someone Photoshop a gherkin-flavoured Pop-Tart and send it to me on Twitter, please?
That's so lazy, do it yourself.
Nah, I'll just get all the people to make memes and send me them.
That's not how being a meme smith works, or it shouldn't be anyway.
No, I'm the meme sweatshop owner, and
everyone
else makes them for me, and then I...
You're the meme bandit, that's what you are.
Yeah, they go out under my name, but they're being made by poor little penniless slaves.
Middle Eastern children.
Are you allowed to say that?
Well, that makes me feel better about my piss poor meme output anyway, because each and every one of my memes is handcrafted by my own fair hands, so that's why they now take months to create each one.
By Microsoft Paint.
No, using just mainly using apps on my phone, because I don't have a computer, so it's not a high tech solution, but it works.
No, I use this free website called Pixlr, and it's just an all right editor online.
I use Photoshop. No, I don't have Photoshop. Fucking animal.
Well, I just can't be bothered to get hold of it again in the legal way.
I don't use it legally.
You do surprise me.
Do I?
So yeah, Halloween. What a great time.
Yeah,
so
my favorite time of year.
You just planning on going to Scarefest this year or anything else?
Honestly, I'm stuck between, I don't know, because I've never done one in the UK before. I'm stuck between Scarefest and Fright Nights.
I would definitely do Fright Nights if I had to choose one of the two. Definitely
well, yeah.
Fright Nights.
But one costs thousands of pounds and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
Hmm. But I feel like it might be more worth it, though. I'm not going to go to either, so that's great for me.
It's such a ball ache to get to either place for me.
Well, I'm going to...
I think Alton Towers is a bit closer than Florida, to be fair.
I was talking about Thorpe, to be fair.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm going to one near me called Fear at Avon Valley. It's about 10-15 minutes away from me.
There's a really good one happening up my end this year called Psychopath.
Mm.
And they've like...
There are loads of smaller kind of regional scare attractions that many have seen, which seems
they're
to be
great.
Really well rated.
Yeah, they've... It's one of my like friends at work, one of her friends owns a farm in like Durham area.
Yeah.
And they're doing out the whole thing as if like people have escaped from Durham prison.
That's
and are like,
cool idea.
Oh, so they're actually theming it to like local stuff.
Like Psychopath, yeah.
Cool.
Like just a pathway where all the fucking psychos are hiding and they're going to fucking come out.
But if any of you are going to Alton Towers Scarefest, pretty close by, there's one called Screamfest in Burton-on-Trent.
Yeah.
That is another really, really good one. I would recommend.
I've seen vlogs from there.
Yeah, Sean has done a few from there, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good one. But say I'm going to Avon Valley this year. It's been 2 years since I went there. Probably the best mazes I've done in the UK at Avon Valley. They were just really high quality. They were better than Towers mazes, I thought. Even for theming and everything. Like they're an award-winning place and they really do like pull out all the stops to make.
Yeah.
Like don't be discouraged just because you're not going to a theme park for your mazes. Like even though the theme parks are great, a lot of the time these smaller like farm-based attractions will blow them away.
Well, yeah, because I guess they can put all their effort into the scare attractions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Whereas when it's a theme park type thing, they've got like all of the extras like that come with being in a theme park as well as the scare.
Support your local Scream Park, people. It's important.
It's interesting that
support your local Scream Park.
It's interesting that you refer to them as farm based because until you said that, it hadn't occurred to me that they are all farm based.
I think the vast
that?
Majority are, yeah. I think it's
I think it's the easiest bit of land to do it on, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Because well, again, there's a couple nearby me. There's one, I think it's like not too far away from Preston. It's, what the hell, it's Scare Kingdom.
Yeah, that's meant to be amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's meant to be really good. And from what I gather, it's you book your time slot and then you do each maze one after the other. Like you get one run through each.
Oh, that sounds really stressful.
Yeah, it's but I think that they sort of link into one overarching storyline. I could be wrong about that. And they change up the mazes every year, and there's usually like six or seven each year, and it is supposed to be really good. But again, like during the rest of the, they actually do them for different points of the year. They do like Halloween scare events and Christmas ones and all kinds of weird shit like that. Mm. And then for the rest of the year, it's the farm is the home of Mrs. Dowson's Real Dairy Ice Cream, which I just find is really at odds.
That's almost
or as I like to call it,
the evil
vending machine. Or as I like to call it, Mrs. Dowson's Scary Ice Cream, because, you know, it fits.
If I could do anything, it would be to make Halloween just a constant event.
Yeah, it should just be year-round, to be honest.
I'd rather Halloween than Christmas. I hate Christmas.
I completely
Christmas.
Agree.
I hate Christmas so much.
So I remember I actually went to a Christmas... Well, let me tell you a story about this. I almost went to a Christmas scare attraction in Birmingham, Twisted Attractions, which has since closed down.
Yeah.
Ironically, the event was called Christmas is Cancelled. And then it got cancelled.
Wow.
But yeah,
maybe that was the plan all along, though.
Yeah, they just took my money. Yeah. But no, that was just... It was a bit weird because it was like in central Birmingham in like... A unit.
Nothing scarier than that.
And it was just there, I know, central Birmingham. Yeah.
That's not a bad call, to be honest. Birmingham is one of the scariest places I've ever been in my life.
Yeah, it's scarier to like get to the actual place than it is to go around the mazes. But I'd love to do an attraction that isn't Halloween themed, which sounds a bit weird when you're talking about a scare attraction, but...
Yeah.
Like the Krampus and all the elves with like shop and candy canes to shank you with and all that sort of stuff.
Well, you know, if you're lucky, you never know. Sean Sandbrook might do another like scare attraction in like February or March or whenever it was. His local community centre, and you can go down to that.
Didn't he have
Why
to,
don't
like,
we do one?
What would we have in ours?
Just me.
Alex Crump.
Just me screaming repeatedly.
In a milk
for an bowl. Hour. Drinking milk.
No, this, it would just be us three sitting behind a desk and you'd have to listen to the podcast live, unedited. That would be the scariest.
We do get off
terrifying,
don't we? Yeah, just a little bit. But that's good, you know. It's all good content, I think.
It's all immersive.
It's all content that you can put at the start that makes us sound like fucking idiots.
That's what hooks people in, though.
Yeah. And then they want to like hear it later on, and then I forget to edit it in later on, and then they're just left with that. And it's really confusing for them. But sometimes things are better left without context. It's funnier. But anyway, so Halloween, we've covered that. What have we done? What have we tick? See you next year. What have we done since the last podcast, if anything? I know it's like not been that long. Have we done any theme parky things? Have we made anything? Have we made any content? What's happened?
I went to work.
Wow.
I got offered a permanent contract at work, which was interesting.
Nice.
Is it theme park related?
That's it though. All I do.
Skip.
It's not
theme park.
No.
Skip.
Then it's irrelevant to the podcast.
So you've been asking people to take you to fairs.
I was, yeah. This was basically, okay, so there was a decent fair on down the road. It was about just under an hour's drive away from where I am in Bolton. And there was a decent fair on there. Like, not amazing, but pretty fucking solid lineup and better than the kind of stuff that I would get like immediately on my doorstep. And I was trying to find a lift. A guy that I met, Owen, through earlier this year, I put out basically a personal ad on Twitter asking for someone who drives, who likes theme parks and is willing to give lifts. And he responded to that. And since then we've had a few theme park trips with him, you know, cool guy, shout out to you. And asked him if he fancied it, and he said he did, but then as it turned out, like, we couldn't match up a mutual day of availability where he was free and we were and all that kind of bollocks. So, and I just kind of got a little bit disheartened because, you know, I can't drive there myself due to blindness and just like pissed off that I couldn't do stuff without the help of other people. But it's cool, you know. At the end of the day, yeah, I was kind of, it was somewhat tongue in cheek, me appealing for like theme park and fair buddies who'll give me a lift. Because again, there is at least one person, you know, who I've got who is a lot of fun to go to theme parks with and, you know, is happy to go and do stuff like that. So again, hopefully we'll be going to Scarefest with him next month.
Awesome.
And also, hopefully, maybe going to Hull Fair next month as well, which will be exciting and terrifying because scary fair rides, man. Scary fair rides.
But it's not all doom and gloom because you did get to go to Pleasure Beach yesterday.
I did.
I miss Pleasure Beach so much.
Sorry.
How is Icon? Is it still
Fuck
as good?
Fuck off, Lewis.
How is Icon? Is it what?
Still as good as it was back in the day.
Yes. It does have the Mac rattle, though. It definitely has the Mac rattle. And I don't know if it's got worse since it opened or if it's just I was more aware of it. I don't know.
The Mackle.
Yeah. I feel like maybe Sean Sandbrook misled us all. Because for years, he's been telling us how smooth these Mac coasters are and how they're such smooth, relaxing experiences. And Icon opened, and within a couple of weeks, in fact, even on opening day, you were like, it's not glass smooth, as some people refer to it. It's like, it's by no means saying it's rough, because it's not rough at all. It's just not. I don't know. I don't know if coasters are capable of not having a bit of just like a bit of vibration going through the train as they go around the track. I don't know.
I think they need to, though.
I don't think I've ever ridden a coaster that didn't have like at least a little bit.
Exactly. So it does have that pretty much constantly, but it doesn't detract from the experience at all. And it's still a fantastic ride. And yesterday I got to do a couple of night rides on it for the first time ever. And it was just amazing. You know, it's already my favorite coaster, as unoriginal as that is. And no, it, like, because again, I've never been to Scarefest. I've not done really the late night openings at Pleasure Beach much. So it's been a while since I rode a coaster in the dark, and riding Icon in the dark. It's, you know how, I'm going off on a slight tangent here. You know how you kind of, you get disoriented when a place is in darkness. Say you're like driving home or being given a lift home, or you're on a bus somewhere. And it's kind of, you can be going through a familiar place, but when it's dark, you kind of, things look different and you sort of feel like you're not sure where you are.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe that's just, so it was like that, but on a roller coaster. So you're familiar with the layout, and you know, because I'd ridden Icon like 30 times by this point. But yeah, in the dark, everything seemed a bit new. Like, it was almost like the layout had changed. Obviously it hadn't, but it was just kind of weird because everything looks different. Your surroundings look different in the darkness. So
yeah,
I don't know. It was really cool though. Had a good day at Pleasure Beach. Filmed a vlog.
Ooh.
So look forward to that.
Yeah,
you sound like you are. Go and subscribe to Evil Lewis Vlogs on YouTube, and at some point I'll get the footage off my GoPro and sort of edit it. I don't know if editing's really the right word. Stick all the clips into one video using a crappy editing app on my phone, and then bung it on YouTube and you can watch it.
Just hope for the best.
And there may be a special guest appearance in my vlog. So, ooh, exciting. Look out for that. I'm not going to say who it is or isn't, because, you know.
Any clues?
It's a hook to get people. No clues, because I want people. I want to pique people's interest, and people be like, fuck, I need to watch this and find out who it is.
Well.
So watch it, and then you'll find out who it is.
I really want to know who it is now.
Well, you'll have to
watch
the vlog.
It's
then,
worked.
Won't you? Yeah,
will,
see?
Will.
Keep them guessing. Marketing 101.
Why don't you comment and guess who's going to be in Lewis's vlog down below?
Yeah.
And then when it isn't them, express your disappointment.
Or when it is them, express your disappointment.
Is it Mandy Thompson?
You never know. Oh, that'd be the dream right there. That would be the dream. But no, it's not Mandy Thompson. Sorry.
Right. Okay.
Not interested then.
That's as close to a clue as you're getting.
Speaking of strange experiences,
did I mention a strange experience?
Well, you were like, you know, in the dark and you didn't know where you were and all that.
Sure.
A really loose,
it's fine.
A loose tie. It's a loose tie. I'm trying to
all
tie
right.
it all together.
It's good. It's working.
I received a message a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, or maybe like a week ago, from a friend from university who I get along with like quite well, and we've been friends for a couple of years, and he just messaged me saying like, do you like breadcrumbs?
Okay. Like,
I was like, what the fuck? How does someone know about this? Is he messaging the right person?
Yeah.
And he told me that, yeah, he had listened to the podcast for about an hour and he recognized my voice, but he couldn't like put two and two together.
Okay.
And he then realized that when I was being called Jake in the podcast, that it was me. So I now have a random friend from uni who listens to the podcast. So shout out to you. You know who you are.
I'm so sorry that you have to put yourself through this.
Yeah. It was just really, really strange. But he said that he found the podcast similar to sort of like how Moss got into it. That, like, you know, he wasn't really an enthusiast, but he found Theme Park Worldwide and he just thought Sean was a really interesting character.
And okay.
And he sort of got hooked onto it. And he's been watching for a few years, actually.
Yeah, there's no fucking escape once you get stuck.
Yeah, and then just sort of through that, he found Moss, and then through Moss, he found us. And now he's a listener to the podcast, but he said that he doesn't really like that much theme parky stuff, so he probably won't enjoy this too much.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
But he knows that it's more of a nerdy podcast, but shout out to you, because I know you're listening, because I said I'd mention it.
That's the only reason he's listening. He doesn't fucking care about you.
No, he's just going to skip to the bit with the shout out and then go.
Jake's quiz of the week.
Well, after that, I think it's time for the quiz of the week. Ooh.
Oh, that's just my favourite part.
Ooh, I feel like the questions aren't as funny as last week, but they're a bit more general knowledgey, so you might have to rack your brains a little bit for these.
Okay. I'm just hoping for a wild card on the same level of We're Falling. Ah.
You know, I'll try and deliver, but I don't think I've got anything that funny, unfortunately.
That was literally my highlight of the last episode.
It was fucking funny, like.
Okay, well, we've got some more normal ones to start off with. Cool. And again, we'll do it the same as last time.
Okay,
question one. What was the first ever stand-up drop tower in the world?
Holy shit.
Fuck. I have no idea.
Do you want a clue?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
It's closer to home than you probably think.
Is it Apocalypse at Drayton Manor?
Yes, it is.
Hey!
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know it was the first.
I think it was... I should have researched it a bit more, but it was installed and then the stand-up section was like added.
That was done as an upgrade.
No, sorry. Stand Up Flawless was added. The famous Tower 5.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, it was the first stand up in the world. And then the second one was Hurricane Condor in 2005. So there's 5 years where it was the only stand up drop tower in the world.
That's crazy.
Wow.
I know. And I really didn't think it would be Apocalypse, to be honest, when I was looking up questions.
Did they market it as that when they opened it?
I don't even know, but I was like,
because if they didn't, they were fucking missing a trick, weren't they?
Yeah, I was five, so can't
old
tell
you. Lewis.
In when?
In 2000.
In 2000? Do we have to go into this?
No, I'm joking, I'm joking.
I'm old, okay?
It's fine. Come on. It's fine.
I feel like it's like if we draw attention to exactly how old I am, it gets a little bit embarrassing, and I probably should be doing something like taxes or something, not nerding out about theme parks. So you know,
you've just got a giant pile of taxes next to you that you're not
That's what I should be doing with my life at this point. But no, you know,
if you're listening to the podcast and also doing your taxes, let us know if you're doing them at the same time. I'd be interested to know if you're doing your taxes. I know one person's just done his tax returns, but we won't go into that.
Thrilling stuff.
Okay, question number two. Which theme park had the first ghost train to use the term ghost train in its name?
You mean theme or amusement park?
Or amusement park.
Theme and or amusement park.
Or, stylized park.
Okay, I know this, but I'm going to...
I don't know.
I feel like this... You don't know this.
Is it Pleasure Beach?
Yes.
It is Pleasure Beach, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only place I've heard of that calls it Ghost Train, rather than something ridiculous.
Like... Yeah, and it was the first Ghost Train, or the first ride that was ever called Ghost Train.
Yeah, I don't think it was the first ever one, but it was the first one to name
it. The first ever spooky track dark ride, but it was the first ever ride that was called the Ghost Train.
Fuck the Ghost Train at Pleasure Beach, by the way. Fuck that shit.
Wow, I've never been on it.
Don't you talk shit about my ghost train.
It's fucking shit, man.
Who's ghost
fuck
train
you.
Is it?
I'll fight you. I won't fight you because you're a girl and that, you know. But still.
You want to throw hands, Lewis? I'll throw hands at Scarefest.
No, I'm not. No.
Please film it. Put it in the vlog. It'll be great.
No, but...
I just appear from the side, throw hands, and then we fucking never speak again.
What's your beef with the ghost train?
I just think it's shit.
Yikes. Wasn't it made in 1930 though?
Like before I got on
something
it.
Something like that.
Like Chris and Louise and all that were like, oh my god, you're gonna love it, it's well good. And I got on it and I was like, this is just room after room of plastic shit that doesn't.
Okay, I think they might have missold it to you. I would definitely let someone know for the first time that it is kind of a bit shit because it's old, but I feel like that's part of its charm. Now to me, I think part of why I love it is because it has the nostalgic factor because I rode it as a kid. And it's the same ride. But having said that, it has changed over the years. And one thing that I like about it is the way that their in-house, you know, like maintenance, and they've got like an in-house props team who have updated certain scenes and created new scenes and new, for lack of a better term, effects. There are effects in there. Nothing like, you know, it's not Disney standard, but there's some cool stuff in there. You know, and it's quite nice seeing the new additions every couple of years and trying to figure out, like, you see like little bits of theming and thinking, is that new? Have I seen that before? I don't know. This season, there's like a smoking, like a barrel. You know, like the kind of ones hobos gather around that have got fire in them. Do you know what I mean?
It's like movies. It's like the end of Jewel, basically.
Yeah, it's like a toxic waste barrel, and it's kind of there's like light coming out of it and like steam or like mist, and that's just near the start when you go in. And I don't think I've seen that before this season, but you never, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, so you're like, is that new? Is it? I don't know. I like it.
Remember.
I've only actually done two rides at Blackpool, Infusion and Big One, so.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only done the Ghost Train and Nick Streak.
Jesus.
But it was like a passing visit, so I just sort of chose the first two big coasters I saw.
Yeah, I was too busy drinking, to be fair. I'd rather have a pint.
In the Velvet Coaster?
No, like, they sell pints on site.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Yeah. They do.
Yeah, I suppose in a place like Blackpool, you've got to sell beer in the theme park, haven't you?
So I was just enjoying five.
But no, I actually think that the Ghost Train at Blackpool Pleasure Beach, and I'm going to make a bold two-in-one statement here. Oh my God.
God.
I actually think it's a better spooky dark ride than Dual Alert Alton Towers. Fight me.
That's a bold statement.
Would you agree with that, Jess?
I've never done Duel.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've only done, like, the roller coasters and the fucking Enterprise.
Oh, I hate that thing.
I love it.
Enterprise.
It's fucking great, man.
It's horrible.
I must have been literally about seven the first time I did it. And I just remember thinking it was just going to spin us round. And then we turned upside down and we were clinging on for dear life, smashing off each other and fucking smashing off the bars. And I was like, I'm fucking signing up for this shit.
Wow.
Right, let's move on to the next question. Which UK travelling fair is famous for using steam-powered attractions?
Oh, come on.
I'm not a fair nerd, so I don't know.
You don't have to be. This is common knowledge.
I'm not a fair nerd and I know this, yeah.
Yeah, see?
I don't know.
It's obviously Carter's Steam Fair.
It's Carter's, it is. You sound really disappointed that I asked that question.
No, it
was like way too easy for you.
It's well.
Maybe we should have like one of your fair friends on, and you can make like a fair quiz for them and see if they can do some intense fair questions.
I don't really have any fair friends.
Oh,
apart from Dave Stratton, Slothy Vlogs. He's like super into fairs. You know, he.
Can we get Dave on here, please? Because
most of his vlogs are funfair based, so. You know, he's kind of the king of the fair vlogs.
Yeah, maybe I think we should probably get him on. You mentioned him last week, didn't you, as well? So yeah, I say last
week.
I think he said
that he wanted to come on when I said that I was going to do a new podcast. And he was like, oh, I'll come on. So,
well, get in touch. Maybe we can organise that for the next episode. Oh, but who knows? Who knows?
Who knows? It's hard enough organising for three of us to be free at the same time, let alone having a guest.
Yeah, especially around Halloween as well, if we're all planning to go and do these parks and what have you.
Live from Scarefest.
Yes, live podcast from Scarefest. That would be amazing.
But nobody would care.
Yeah, and it would be horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, next question. Which drink brand will be bringing its evil vending machine to Thorpe Park right now this year?
I couldn't fucking believe this one.
Oh, God.
I saw you tweeting about it, and I think I had to ask you, didn't I? I was like, okay, you piqued my interest here. What the fuck is with this? And then you told me, and I didn't believe it until I read the press release.
Wait, have I missed something?
You clearly have, yes.
Have
Your general knowledge is slipping this week, Jess.
What have I missed?
Okay, so basically, there was the leaked Thorpe Fright Nights announcement, and in it basically said that Fanta were bringing their evil vending machine to Thorpe Park this year for Fright Nights. And that's pretty much all we know about it at the minute.
Fanta's evil vending machine.
What the fuck?
It will be evil. It'll be like £3 for a can of Fanta or something crazy like that.
It's already evil, like I said, because they've reduced the sugar in it and replaced it with sweeteners. So it's pretty
unpleasant. Did you mention Fanta last time?
No, I think I mentioned this to you. We might have done. I mentioned this to you when we were talking about the evil vending machine, and I was like, oh, it's the Fanta's scary enough as it is because of the new recipe. Because you know how they've ruined all soft drinks apart from Coke and Pepsi. That, basically.
But did you know that even though Fanta is orange flavored and has like orange juice from concentrate in it, the vegetable extracts they use are carrot and pumpkin.
Probably just for coloring.
Well, there you go. That's like a
spooky drink. I would assume
that'll
be coloring.
If there's pumpkin in it, it's officially a Halloween drink.
Oh, I was considering. I got tagged in something on Instagram the other day that was like, "Oh, this would look really good with your hair." You know, like, I mean, I don't have it anymore. I've just recently dyed it, but my red and my black. And it was like someone who had the same, but it was orange and black. And I was like, that's very spooky for Halloween. I might do that. So I'm thinking about it.
I don't really decorate or like dress up for Halloween ever.
Oh.
Even though I love Halloween so much. I never even do a pumpkin or anything.
I do a pumpkin every year and I literally sit in my room alone, dressed up.
What could possibly be distressing about that?
If I've got nowhere to go, I'll literally sit in my room dressed up. Luckily, Halloween's on a Wednesday this year, and student night in Sunderland's on a Wednesday. So catch me in Gatsby's.
So you can relive your youth as a student.
People will.
Now you've graduated.
25
people are actually going to catch you in Gatsby's.
If you catch her in Gatsby's, let us know.
Please don't let me know.
We can talk about it on the podcast.
I do lots of bad things in Gatsby's.
Well, she there you go, listeners. She's told you the when and the where, so, you know. Yeah. This is like the evolution of the old Find Jess feature on the Moss Machine.
Yeah, she's just telling you.
Hashtag, here's where Jess will be and when.
At this time.
Knock yourselves out.
You will only be disgusted. That is
lovely.
All.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next question, shall we? Okay, this is the last question. So, how many litres of milk does Alex Crump drink in a week?
Right.
I like it already. Is this multiple choice, or do we have to just guess?
No,
as a milk lover,
I do have a very specific answer.
I drink 12 pints of milk a week.
What's that in litres, do you know?
I can...
Can we have a calculator? Can we have a...
Hang on, I'll get it.
I just want to see how much you drink compared to him. And if it's close, then perhaps it was meant to be.
Then you get a prize.
12 pints is 6.8 litres.
Oh, okay. No, he puts away way more milk than you, I'm afraid.
No, he doesn't.
He does.
He says
he does. Have you researched this?
Would I make up an answer for the sake of comedy?
Yes.
No.
No.
Is this in a week?
Yeah.
Did you say a week?
A week.
Okay, yeah. In a week.
What do you think?
I reckon...
23 litres.
Okay, that's actually pretty close.
I think Alex Crump comfortably puts away about 18 litres of milk in a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Jess, you said 23, and
yeah.
Lewis said 18. Okay, so Jess is closer, but you were both pretty close. It's 21 litres a week.
Right.
Ah.
So he drinks, put that into actual...
On average, it's 3 litres a day.
Yeah, just to put that into, like... Fuck me, what am I trying to say? To put that into perspective for people who are normal and use pints, that's 42 pints of milk.
Yeah.
That's a lot of milk.
That's like 7 cows dead of dehydration from the amount of milk.
Crump just milking them.
Murders them and sucks out their fluid straight from the teat.
Oh, that's a lovely image. If anyone wants to draw that, because if anyone wants to like recreate that image and Photoshop it, then please do.
Now I feel violently unwell.
I've asked for a lot of Photoshops this episode, haven't I?
You have. You've been a little bit ridiculous, I think.
Drink a fucking ridiculous amount of milk, though,
doesn't
he? Did
you see
that
absolute
unit?
Yeah, but so do I. Drink a lot of milk.
I couldn't drink unflavoured milk. I can drink like chocolate milk, but I can't drink...
Oh no, I love milk.
Straight up milk. No,
it's not a thirst-quenching beverage. That's the thing.
No,
it is. It's the only thing that quenches my thirst when I'm hungover.
God.
No, it's not good. It's not what you want.
There's nothing inviting about it to me. It's just a bit, little bit weird.
Like, yeah, milk on your cereal, fine. Milk in your tea, fine. Milk in things that you put milk in. I don't know.
Fine.
Just figure it out for yourselves. Fine, yeah, but... I don't know. And again, right, even, like, sure, have the odd glass of milk if you have if it takes your fancy, but he only drinks milk.
Yeah, pretty much same.
We've seen it in vlogs, like, every time he'll, like, get, like, 2 large cups of milk, like, from the whatever coffee place is at the theme park he's at, and he'll drink them, like, one after the other. just, and I mean, like, I don't know. And this is in like hot countries. Do you know what I mean? Or you'll go to like Florida and just be like, oh, it's so hot. I've got a down.
It's just like curdling in the cup because it's so hot.
Yeah, exactly. Ah.
That makes me feel a bit sick.
Yeah. Well, I actually went to put some milk on my cereal this morning and it was off. So maybe it's because I've got a grudge against milk today that I'm thinking it's gross. As a man who eats whole gherkins and olives, I just can't drink milk. But that's, there we go.
Just ridiculous. Just
that's the end. Apparently,
Crump puts down a lot of milk in the Florida travel vlog.
He does, yeah. He's like got a giant bottle of it that he buys towards the end, I think.
See, I don't drink milk when I'm in America because it doesn't taste the same.
Those genetically modified cows. And
yeah, I hate
super
it.
Milk.
No, milk's not the drink for me. In something, as Lou said, yeah, fine. Just not on its own.
I don't think milk's not really a drink for any fucking adult, is it? Come on. I don't know. I think Alex Crump was breastfed for far too long as a child. I literally think that he like didn't come off until he was like 9 years old. Fucking honestly.
Maybe we should drink that much milk. He's a massive guy, you know, he's grown very large. Maybe that's the secret.
Oh hell yeah. I got tagged in a meme the other day and I was absolutely creased at it. Because my friends take the piss out of me all the time for drinking milk. Like, they proper rinse me for it. Hang on, let me find this meme. I was fucking howling at it.
I feel like milk drinker is like an insult. Sort of like mouth breather. If you're like a milk drinker, you're just a bit of a fucking dope.
Yeah, I'll go with that. What a fucking milk drinker.
It's like one of those people that's like, if you drink just like straight up milk, you're a fucking devil spawn. And then
yeah, I'll go with that.
Someone had commented on it and they were like, well, fucking come back when you're fucking not inferior. My fucking calcium ridden bones can rip trees from the ground. I was like, me.
Well, I think that's enough for the milk section.
There'll be more next time.
There will. I'm sure we'll touch on milk and Fanta next week as well.
I'm very passionate about milk.
You're listening to Theming and Meming, the UK's premier theme park podcast.
It's time for the questions. The questions.
Yay.
Woo.
We don't have as many as last time, but also that's probably not a bad thing because it took us quite a while to answer them.
We do have a rollover question, don't we?
Yeah. The Chris Ingham question from last week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we touch on that one first?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't really know a whole lot about it, so I'm sort of hoping that one of you two does.
I think Jess knows more about this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I found out a bit because I saw the question and I was like, who and what now? And just, so yeah. I found out a couple of bits. And
Just for context, I know this is a theme park podcast, but
yes,
we're using the excuse that he's been to Alton Towers and made videos there to loosely tie it to the fact that we can talk about it.
Yeah.
So go on, yeah. Let's see about Chris.
So he runs one of those like family YouTube channels, you know, where like, they get loads of views because the kids are cute and shit like that.
They're awful family vlogging channels.
And then it was like around July, maybe June, I think. A girl came forward and was like, oh, he was really fucking creepy with me when I was in Florida. He'd like text me like, come and meet me outside and stuff. She was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, oh, leave your friends and like come and see me outside by the pool and stuff like that. I've left my wife in the room and that, and it was just weird. And he's just totally ignored this. Like, he's even done like an apology video saying like, I'm not a fucking sexual predator, but just hasn't addressed the fact that people have got like screenshot
like evidence of the fact that he's a sexual predator.
Yeah,
I remember watching his like apology video where he, well, it wasn't really an apology. He sort of just addressed it, but he didn't address any of the accusations against him. He just sort of went, you can't be saying these things about me, you know, my kids are going to get bullied at school and this and that. And he was sort of like putting the blame on the people who'd called him out.
Trying to guilt trip the victims because of thinking my poor kids and my poor wife.
And instead of like just owning up to what he did, he just decided to turn it on them, which just for me was just a terrible move. And it really came across as him just looking like a massive twat.
And then didn't the girl come out with a response video to that video?
I don't know.
I think Jess did.
I think she did.
It was the girl that like started it all, who was sharing everything that happened in Walt Disney World.
Yeah, I think she did a response video basically discussing his like lack of acknowledgement in that video and essentially kind of, I think she basically like read out, I think she tweeted like a note, like a like an open letter to him basically on Twitter, and then sort of made this video reading it out, I think. And basically just kind of being somewhat appalled by his lack of acknowledgement of, you know, what it is that he did, and basically just reiterating from her point of view, why would she lie about it? And, you know, she's got proof, yeah, this, that, and the other. You know, and again, the whole thing about, you know, my poor wife, think of my poor kids and think of my poor wife, and it's like, well, you think of them, you creepy nuts.
Yeah, the other thing that came up was that he was texting a girl he met at Alton Towers, actually.
Mm.
And she, like, posted a selfie after she got out of the shower, and he was like, drop your towel and resend a photo.
Ugh, God.
She was 19, so it's not as bad age-wise, but he's also still married and has kids, so it's still pretty
bad.
Yeah,
but then didn't he very recently, he got a tattoo of his wife's name on his forearm, massive. Yeah. But, like, her full name, not just, like, do you know what her first name is, Jess? It escapes me.
What, his wife?
Yeah.
She's called Sarah.
There you go. So we had I think the tattoo says something like Sarah Ingham Forever or something like that.
I think you're exactly right, actually.
Like in massive fucking letters all the way down his forearm. And as people have pointed out, if you're going to get a tattoo of your partner's name, you don't have their full name. No. Do you know what I mean? That's especially not when it's your surname too, because you're married. That's a bit weird.
Yeah,
that's like... they're a brand, obviously, so it's like drawing attention to that. And then didn't it also come out that she's pregnant again?
Yeah, I think
like,
so.
That's like the response is, well, I'm clearly not a paedophile who cheats on my wife, because look, I've got her full name tattooed on my arm, and we're having another baby.
Yeah, but it's
definitely going to end well.
Apparently this girl from Alton Towers that got this ridiculous Snapchat message off him, apparently he'd said to her, like, bottom line, I like you and I want to help you. I've got the power to make you a massive role model on Instagram and YouTube and stuff like that. And then was like, send nudes and I'll make you famous and shit like that.
Creepy as fuck.
But yeah.
Is it with guys called Chris and being creepy as fuck? Weird.
But like, his wife's seen all of these messages and things like that, and his wife went fucking crazy on Twitter and was like, fuck you bitches, fucking blocking people and shit. And I was like, there's fucking proof that he sent this shit. Like,
it's just denial, isn't it?
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the Chris Ingham thing.
I just think it's ridiculous.
You can find out about the whole saga if you search it up online. Have a look on YouTube. It's not hard to find.
We're months out of date on commenting on something that's happened once again.
Yeah, sure.
Someone asked us to touch on it, so we have done.
Yes. Yeah. It was meant to be a question for the first podcast, but we ran out of time. Yeah. Yeah. So that's Chris Ingham. Twat. At the end of the day.
He's a creepy bastard.
He's a twat.
He's a creepy bastard.
Okay, so the next question. What is your number one bucket list coaster in the USA other than Steel Vengeance? And this is from Joel.
Oh, shit.
In the whole of the USA?
Yeah.
Damn.
I want to say, like, Top Thrill Dragster, probably. That's always, like, the one that's bought up a lot. Or Gatekeeper. Or... Yeah, I don't really know a lot of these coasters, to be honest. As someone who's never left...
I'm having a really hard time with this one.
I had to think about it earlier when I was writing them down.
Maybe King Dakar?
Yeah, that's always one of the most popular
ones. I've never done one of those Intamin launch coasters with a top hat. I've not been to Thorpe, so I've not done Stealth. I know they're supposed to be amazing, but they just do one thing. But then you can say that about Oblivion, and Oblivion's amazing, so...
Ooh. Like, it's the tallest roller coaster in the world. You can be like, yeah, mate, I've been the tallest roller coaster in the world.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm not usually a fan of gimmicky stuff, but, like, sometimes the gimmicks do make it good. Like, I want to go on the tallest coaster in the world. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, true.
I want to go on the fastest coaster in the world. That's meant to be amazing.
Yeah.
But so, I think it's because we're so used to, like, our gimmicky world first Alton Towers that we just sort of think that we just want a normal coaster, sort of like Wicker Man is.
Yeah.
But in America, they actually do these world firsts or these best ofs, like, really well.
Yeah, probably definitely King Dakar's definitely up there.
I'd like to do Expedition Everest in Disney. Yeah. I mean, that thing looks really cool.
The best.
That's what I was going to say, was that I'm almost leaning towards something that people wouldn't expect, that is something more like what you get at Disney or even Universal, like, you know, something that's really well themed. You know, as a coaster, probably quite, you know, quite average, but just themed up, you know, theming out the arse,
To be
basically,
fair,
you know.
the Mummy roller coaster, both in Florida and in Hollywood, they're different, but both some of my, like, definitely top 10, both of them, they're really good.
Yeah.
And the theming is incredible, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, it's all very well and good having a coaster that's fucking ridiculous and it's like fucking 2,000 meters long and like you're on it for ages and it's just airtime central. But if it isn't an experience, then I don't think.
Overall experience.
You know how I like an overall experience. Oh my God.
Fuck yous.
I get what you
No,
mean.
It's true. No, I agree though. Again, I like, you know, I love magical immersive experiences at the end of the day. You know, again, I might be going to Florida next year, and if I do, I'm gonna fucking have a great time at Disney. You know, I'm a grown man, but I'm still gonna enjoy magical fucking immersive experiences, and I'm gonna enjoy going to Busch Gardens and riding some world-class coasters. You know,
See, I don't
there's
understand
room for
people like,
both.
oh, like adults who go to Disney are fucking weird, and it's like, no.
I mean, no, okay, so this has come up recently because there is a certain, I'm not going to say high profile, but well-known theme park personality in the UK who is of the male variety and may be considered by some people to be creepy. Judge for yourselves.
Wow, make this
Who is
more like it.
very much obsessed with Disney. And I've actually said with regards to this, imagine being a grown man who is fucking obsessed with Disney. Like, again, if I go to Florida, I'm going to enjoy the Disney parks. I'm going to immerse myself in some magical experiences, but I'm not obsessed. You know, I'm not like in day-to-day life, I don't really give a fuck about Disney.
Yeah,
Sorry, I
I'm the
don't.
same.
Do you know
I'm
what I mean?
exactly the same.
I don't watch the
See, I
movies.
do.
I don't buy fucking model castles. I don't have merch. You know what I mean? I don't do that because I'm a fucking grown man. And I certainly don't give the Wonga grannies all my fucking money so I can get myself massively in debt to go to Disney parks because shit, I'm lucky if I can get to fucking Blackpool. But, you know,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
We're getting off topic here.
Yeah.
Like there's too many coasters in the US that I think look awesome that I would like to do for me to be able to pick one, I'm
Oh,
afraid.
we forgot the main coaster, Slinky Dog Dash. That's what I want to go on.
Hell
Slinky Dog Dash.
yes. Yeah, it looks awesome, to be
I'm really
fair.
excited to ride that.
I think the Slinky Dog Dash thing sort of become a meme. I'm not really sure what the meme is, but that's why I just said it.
Oh, but to be fair
Apparently
though, it does
apparently
actually
it's really slow.
genuinely look like a really good coaster.
It looks fun, yeah. It's really well
It does
themed.
look
It
fun.
looks really fun. But yeah. Slinky Dog Dash is some sort of meme and I don't get it. So someone please fill me in. Right, okay. Most overrated and underrated rides in your opinion from Jack G 4112.
100% the most overrated ride in the whole fucking world is Wicker Man right now.
Oh, I said this was my favorite coaster last week. Wow.
Damn. Like, let's be realistic. It's fucking great that they're bringing back Woody's. Woody's are great roller coasters. But it's short. It's not even
Yeah.
close to the top 10 fastest, biggest drops, anything like that. Yeah, the theming's
No.
good, but it's not anything amazing.
You haven't ridden it though, have you? So you can't really say
I
that,
haven't ridden
can
it,
you?
but I have
Yikes.
no desire to ride it because, like, I will ride it if I get back to Alton Towers, but I've got no desire to ride it because I'm terrified that this ridiculous hype and I'll get on it and I'll be like, yeah, it was an okay roller coaster. Like, I've got friends who are non-enthusiasts who've like been to Alton Towers and been like, oh, that wooden roller coaster that all of your mates were going on about, not really that good.
Sure.
Wow. Shade. Okay.
I like
Enthusiasts
I will
fucking
say
lick arse the fuck out of it. Like, if Wicker Man was made of shit, it wouldn't be made of shit anymore because he would have all licked the shit clean off it.
What
the
think though,
fuck?
I think as someone who hasn't done that much in the world, and someone who's very sort of stuck to the UK and the same few parks, it's a great ride.
Yeah, I'm coming from the same position of you on that one.
To be fair, I have been quite spoiled.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's when, you know, people go abroad and they do like Europa Park and all these really awesome places, and then they come back and it's like nothing ever seems that good anymore in the UK, which is a shame. But I understand what happens. But for me, as I said, I haven't been anywhere, so I don't really get that. And I do just enjoy Wicker Man and think it's amazing because I think it's the best ride at Towers. It's just awesome, really fun. And it is short, yeah, I'll give you that. But I think it's not...
But then sells Nemesis.
I don't think it's that short.
I think Nemesis might be number two on the list of most...
Right, fuck off.
You're just naming my top coasters and say they're the most overrated coasters. But again, it's the thing that I haven't been anywhere.
I think a lot of people would probably say that Icon's one of the most overrated coasters because everyone bums the shit out of that. But it's my favourite coaster, so, you know.
I haven't been on it yet. I really, really need to go back.
If it's your favourite, you're allowed to say that it's overrated.
No, I don't think it is overrated. I just think that a lot of people probably do think it's overrated. I mean, hell, I had a conversation with a guy, I grew up next door to him, and I don't live in the same town as him anymore, and I'm barely in touch with him, but kind of, you know, exchanged a few messages with him recently, and he was talking about how he'd been to Blackpool Pleasure Beach, and I was like, oh, did you ride Icon? And he was like, yeah, I rode Icon, it's good, but it's not as good as Infusion, and I was like, fucking what?
If an enthusiast said that, I think that would be a sacrilege. You'd get kicked out of the community.
I literally said, don't let any actual theme park nerds let you hear you say that, because fucking hell, Icon's good, but it's not as good as Infusion. Imagine, I can't imagine being that level of GP. I really can't. And then I was once, but fucking hell.
Until Sean Sandbrook says it, then everyone just agrees.
The Shambhala effect.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
See, I can't answer this one because I've only done Alton Towers and Pleasure Beach, and I don't, you know what I mean?
I think Oblivion.
I feel like I've got to have done the ride to be able to say whether it's over or underrated. I think one of the most underrated rides, I would say, is maybe Revolution at Blackpool Pleasure Beach. After having had a couple of rides on it yesterday, that thing's fucking awesome. That, until Icon opened, that was my favourite steel coaster on the park. And, I mean, again, that's not saying much because what's your competition? You've got the big one and Steeplechase. maybe you could class Avalanche, I don't know. Yeah, and Infusion, yeah, I suppose. But Revolution, like, it doesn't do much, but it still kicks ass somehow.
Let's not forget about Nick Streak.
Yeah, that's not a steel coaster, though, is it?
No, but it's the best coaster at Blackpool.
It isn't, but okay. I think that's a ride that maybe people overlook. I don't know. I think it's really good. And I think it's better than the, you know, the likes of the big one, which maybe that would be my most overrated because I'm not really a fan, mainly because the last couple of rides I've had on it have been as rough as a badger's ass. So, yeah. I don't know. But then this comes up, this ties into another question, doesn't it? I think maybe is this another question that kind of...
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Okay. I think. if I'm right. Thinking the same thing
as you. What are your most under and overrated rides, though, Jake?
I think Oblivion's overrated.
Ooh, controversial.
It's just a very short layout, one drop that is good the first time, but then you get used to it. It's just not that much in it for me. I wouldn't queue for longer than like 20 minutes for it, really.
No, I would. No, totally. I agree with that.
Underrated.
But then I always try and go on quiet days, so...
Did he say ride or coaster? Okay, ride.
He said ride, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm going to change it from a coaster. I think the most underrated ride, if you can call it a ride, is Rest in Peace, Nemesis Subterra at Alton Towers.
Okay.
That was really fun. It was like, it was sort of like a beginner scare maze for people who'd never done them, so it probably would have been like good for you to have done it. And now you will be able to do it in some part. Now Project 42 is coming this year.
What they're going to use, isn't it?
Yeah, I just thought it was really fun. You know, it wasn't a huge thing, but it was really well set. You know, there was actors and it was nicely themed and it followed this really cool story. It was just a good overall experience.
It did look pretty cool.
It was cool, and I'm hoping that now they're using that building again, perhaps we might see its return next season, or maybe the season after, because I do very much miss that ride, but I understand that they had to close it.
I think it depends if the drop towers are still in there, doesn't it?
Yeah, or I think that's it.
It's been rumoured that they like took them out, or like took the parts out to use in like the dungeon attractions, because they were the same drop towers that they use in the dungeons.
The Alton Towers dungeon that got trademarked.
Ah, yeah. That did get trademarked, didn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll see anything come from that, though.
Who fucking knows? Go on.
Sorry, I was expecting it to be like a temporary like dungeon that they were going to do for Scarefest or something. Just to like hype up the dungeon attractions, but now that's not happened. I think, I guess you could do one. Just like there's one in Warwick Castle, so
yeah,
it's sort of a similar sort of thing, old listed building with a dungeon in. I'm sure they could definitely do it in the towers somewhere.
I think they'll totally do it.
I think they probably will.
Probably as an upcharge attraction as well, though, in Merlin.
I wouldn't mind. I actually don't mind that as long as it's not more than like £3 or £4, but we all know it's going to be like an extra £10, isn't it, or something like that.
To be fair, dungeon attractions are great.
I've only done the London one, and I loved it so much. It was really fun.
I've only done the Blackpool one. That was pretty good.
I've done Edinburgh, York, Amsterdam.
Wow.
And London, yeah. And they're so fun.
They are. Sean was his favourite dungeon.
Yeah, and he got to dress like a motherfucking pimp at fucking Madame Tussauds in Amsterdam.
That was a good vlog. That was a good vlog.
It was amazing.
So yeah, underrated. Nemesis of Terror, please, Towers, bring it back. Nick Varney, I know you're listening. Please, bring it back.
Because it was established that it's rides and not roller coasters, I want to go back and retroactively change my answer for overrated fucking Valhalla.
Ooh. Didn't it like win an award for being like the best water ride in the world this year?
Exactly. Exactly right. Best water ride in the world.
It was either water ride or dark ride. I'm not sure.
I think it was best water based dark ride.
Okay.
No, I think it's best water ride. I don't know.
It's not. But
the thing is, it was the Golden Ticket Award, isn't it? Which are just like voted by enthusiasts, most of whom are American, many of whom probably haven't even ridden the fucking thing. I don't think that's a requirement to vote in the awards. So, you know, granted, when it opened fucking in 2000, I'm sure it was the best water ride and possibly the best dark ride in the world at the time, because it was cutting edge. But since then, the effects have broken, the water tunnel vortex thing doesn't clear the top of the boat or the riders in the boat. You're basically just going through a fucking car wash. And, you know, the effects are unreliable. The fire doesn't work half the time. And it's just a shadow of its former self. And I mean, best water ride in the world? Fuck off. No, it isn't. Yeah, exactly. No, it's not. I haven't ridden it for years until this year. I rode it a couple of times in June because it was quite a hot day. And it was all right. You know, I enjoyed it. It was a good laugh, but fucking hell. No.
I think I'd probably like it. As someone who's not done anything, I think I'd probably think it was really good.
It's all right. It is
good. It is fun, but it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
The amount of weight. Like, I came off and I was like, the actual fuck is it even possible for me to be this wet?
Again, considering that, on your average run-through, you're probably going to only see maybe 50, 60, 70% of the effects working at any one time. You know what I mean? It's really hit and miss as to which effects are going to work and which aren't on a given run-through. And I had two rides back-to-back in June, and, you know, some of the fire effects worked on one run, that didn't on the second run and vice versa. And, you know,
if all the
effects worked all the time, it would probably be worth getting that wet for. But considering that you can go through, get fucking soaked through to the bone and not see half the effects, you're like, is it really worth it? Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we're rambling on too long about the same question. Shitting on Valhalla. Sort it out, Mandy.
This is
fucking
slightly,
crap.
This is, you need to stylize it, Mandy. Come on. This is a bit less about rides, but if you had the chance to have a UK theme park vlogger on the podcast, who would you choose from William Bear 444?
Sean Sandbrook, obviously, but it's never going to happen.
There is the obvious one, but let's try and think of like some more out there people.
I don't want to.
You don't want to?
I only want Sean.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I hope you're listening, Sean. I know you're not because you blocked me. but please, please come on. I mean, I mentioned it last
Sean
week.
Sean Sandbrook will go home.
And, you know, the theme park banter guys have said that they'd come on.
Yeah,
I'd like them on here. I wouldn't not want anyone on here, to be honest.
Yeah, we just like friends.
Well, to a certain extent.
I can think of a few people who I wouldn't be crazy about getting on. I'm not going to mention any names. there's one or two out there.
Okay, well.
I think probably shouldn't be vlogging, let alone. But, they're in the minority, to be fair. They are.
Yeah, yeah, as I say, I think as long as you're like pretty established and we sort of enjoy what you do, I don't really think I'd have any sort of problem about letting people on.
Oh, I hate everyone in this community. I don't want to speak to any of them.
The feeling is mutual. I've got on good assurance from the community.
That's fine.
Okay, so yeah, sort of anyone. Let us know, message us if you want to come on and we'll judge you worthy.
Yeah.
Of our presence, not really.
We'll take it into consideration and then
say definitely.
No.
Well, yeah.
We'll think about it for 1 second.
Okay, so this is... Okay, no, we can all answer this one. What do you prefer, scare zones or scare mazes? Also, top bucket list dark ride. That's from Zach Farron.
I definitely prefer scare zones.
Okay, I prefer mazes.
Nah, I think with a scare zone, it's like... I don't know whether that's like the photography nerd in me, but it's an easier opportunity for like that photo. Obviously, you can't do that in a scare maze.
Yeah.
But like, also, it's very easy to escape a scare zone if you're fucking shit in your pants.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, there'll be like alternate routes.
Yeah.
That don't have the actors in that you can go through if you don't want to get involved. I don't know, yeah. I just prefer mazes because they're usually just more intense. They can usually have more theming, a bit more of a coherent story. I just think they're a bit more interesting to go through. I think roaming actors, though, are really cool.
I'm a fucking wimp, so...
I've obviously done neither of those, but having watched several vlogs and stuff from, like, Horror Nights and stuff like that, I think that scare zones look pretty cool in the sense of, as you were saying, Jess, that you can kind of... You've got an easier escape, and... I don't know, maybe you could say it's a nice little gateway to those who are... not quite sure about scare mazes into that. It's like a halfway house because you're not enclosed in a space. You're still in just an area of the theme park that you might be familiar with. You might not, I don't know, but it's not as intense. And again, I don't know. But you can still experience some of the cool, creepy atmosphere, scare actors, you know, that kind of shit. I don't know.
I think the freedom that scare actors get as well in scare zones is really cool. It involves a lot more sort of improvisation and being able to think quickly on your feet. Like in a maze, an actor will stand in the same place all night and just scare at the same time every time and sort of say the same thing. In a zone, you know, the actors need to be ready to sort of have a conversation almost with like the people going through. So I think, I'm not saying like, actors in zones are better, but I think you have to be a lot more prepared for sort of anything when you're in a zone.
Yeah, a lot more able to improvise on the spot if you need to.
Okay. And then top bucket list dark ride, which is a slightly different angle, but there we go.
I've, dark ride wise, with me being such a big Disney fan, I've done a lot of the dark rides that I would, you know, that most people put on a list like this. I definitely think I really want to do Symbolica at Efteling.
Yeah,
I've got that one written down.
Yeah. But that's probably the only one I can think of.
I wrote down like Mystic Manor, Shanghai, Journey to the Center of the Earth, all the Tokyo Disney Sea stuff.
Oh, yeah. Journey to the Center of the Earth. That looks insane.
Indiana Jones in California looks really cool.
That is literally the fucking one of the scariest dark rides I've ever been on. I was shitting. It changes every time as well. I didn't realize that. Like, I went on it, and it's like, we are going into the jungle temple, and I was like, fuck yeah, this is cool as shit. And it is cool as shit. It's fucking awesome. And then I went back on it again, and it was like, you're going into the water temple, and I was like, what? Like, so, it changes every time.
I remember a bit of a TPW sort of classic moment when they did the California.
Is that the one where Sean got really emotional?
Yeah.
Oh, getting emotional, like, and he was almost in tears.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's that good. It is.
Wow.
I'm prepared.
Yeah, I remember watching the vlog,
tears, but it just never happened.
Yeah, no, I remember watching the vlog and thinking, "Fucking hell! If it's moving Sam Brooke to tears, it must be really good."
I get to say the guy who's done everything and it caught him off guard.
No, it genuinely, like, really, really, like, I'd watched vlogs and stuff like that of people being like, "It's so good," and then on my first ride, they were like, "You get the driver's seat, like you get the wheel," which I'm so thankful for, because if you don't have the wheel to hold on to, you just got to hold it at, like, bars at the side. And that fucking car, like, it throws you around. Like, it literally, like, bouncing out of the car if there was no seatbelt. It's really rough, but, like, the good kind of rough.
So, yeah. Get us out to Asia. So, we'll put all our PayPals in the description.
we want to go to Tokyo Disney Sea.
We'll promise we'll do, like, one vlog. Or something.
I'll do at least three.
I'll do live updates from, like,
we'll get a vlog out of it.
Okay, so the last question. For the three of you, what's the most painful and ruthless coaster you've ever ridden? And then he's added, interesting to see, because Mr. Sandbrook loves Furious Bacco and he rode it last week and 90% sure he has brain swelling. That's from Ross McMillan. So what's the roughest coaster?
I'm going to go with probably the Grand National at Blackpool Pleasure Beach this season. It is horrendous. Now, I've always loved the Grand National and thought it's a lot of fun. It's never been a smooth coaster, but this season specifically, I feel like the wheels might be like oval shaped because the thing fucking bounces up and down violently as you're going through the bottoms of the drops. And I came off yesterday with, like, I tweaked my back, and also I had a bit of a headache because my brain had been shaken around in my skull that vigorously. So yeah, I'm probably going to go with that or the Pepsi Max Big One this season, because again, both the rides I've had on that this year have been, as I've already said, as rough as a badger's ass. So yeah.
I genuinely thought I had concussion when I came off Viper at Six Flags Magic Mountain.
What type of ride is that?
Yeah. Is it an SLC?
I believe it's Vekoma. Let me double check.
Is it an SLC?
I did Jubilee Odyssey, I think it's called, at Fantasy Island in Skate Pants.
I think it's just Odyssey now. I think they've dropped the Jubilee part.
It was really good. It was massive as well. It's huge. Yeah. That is actually, like, the best SLC I've ever ridden, and I've only ridden two, but there you go. It was awesome.
I did Infusion yesterday on the back row, and it wasn't that bad. I mean, it's not
Infusion,
smooth.
Infusion was going to be my roughest one. I was just about to say Infusion.
Oh, shit.
Infusion does look like...
But it's been a few years, honestly. It could be better. It could be worse.
It won't be better. time doesn't heal these wounds.
I don't know. Maybe between Viper and Batman, the ride also at... Six Flags, fuck me.
The B&M? Rough B&M?
It was, honest to God, I, like, passed out on one of the...
Is there a difference between, like, rough and really forceful, though, do you think?
Nah.
Yes, there is, yeah.
Genuinely, like, it was bashing my head off the side of the restraint so bad that I genuinely passed out.
Oh, no.
I came off and I was like, I need to go, like, chill. Before I got anything.
Wow. I mean, on a smaller scale, that's why I don't like Rita, because I always find myself, like, smacking my head into the restraints when I go on it.
Rita's pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah. But not as bad as Infusion, so there we go.
Now, Infusion can be a rough piece of shit at times, but I do think that maybe people are a bit more harsh on it than I think people give it a hard time, somewhat unnecessarily. A lot of people, most people hate Infusion, in the enthusiast community at least. A few people love it. They're the crazy ones.
the weird ones.
I just don't mind it. Like, I'm kind of indifferent towards it. I'll ride it. And, you know, again, I've had a couple of good rides on it this season. And I've had a couple of really painful rides on it this season. And, you know, but again, I rode it yesterday on the back row, which I would have expected to be, like, really unpleasant, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't smooth by any means. It was a bit rough. It, you know, there was a few unpleasant jolts and bits like that. I did take the measure of pressing my face against the pillowy restraint on the right hand side as you go through the double inline twist part, because that's, you know, one of the worst parts for head bashing. It wasn't too bad. I don't know. It was all right.
I mean, you did. I don't know. If you're saying that you had to like put yourself in a certain position to stop yourself from being hurt.
Yeah.
Is that great?
It was still better than the Grand National. So, you know, yeah, sure. I didn't come off feeling like I had actual injuries. So, yeah, it was all right.
See, that used to be, before I was like involved in the community and got really into it, I used to think it was fucking hilarious when you come off rides and you'd be like, fuck me, every part of my body hurt.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, no, that's not supposed to happen.
I think you just expect a certain level of quality, don't you? And when you go on something and it's shit or just feels bad, it's like, why is this here?
I had this conversation yesterday, though, right? And I think it was after coming off Infusion, that I don't mind rides that are a bit rough. I mean, again, I like...
We love a rough ride.
Blackpool Pleasure Beach was kind of my childhood park, so it's to be expected that I'm used to a bit of roughness, you know, growing up riding old woodies and stuff like that that were never smooth. And I have this theory that some of the people who complain about rides being rough or unbearably rough are, how do I say this without pissing everybody off? Like Alton Towers or Merlin fanboys who grew up riding glass smooth B&Ms and nothing else. You know, the people that say that the Smiler is unbearably rough. Now, again, the Smiler, it's not a smooth ride. It's quite rough in places. It does, you know, there's quite a few jolty bits and bits where it throws you around and can knock you about a bit. But it's not, I've ridden it, I've a handful of times, maybe like 6 or 7 times. Go on.
That sort of adds to it. Like, I think if it was like glass smooth, it wouldn't be as fun a coaster.
Yeah, well, I do think a bit of roughness does add to the experience, like the out of control feeling that you get on a coaster. I don't know.
I think Wickerman's a good example of that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a brand new Woody. That's not smooth. But then, how smooth can a Woody be? I don't know. Again, I've only got Wickerman and the Woodies at Pleasure Beach to go off. So,
yeah.
I've obviously, never ridden a Woody that wasn't like even just a little bit like fuck me. I feel like I'm getting fucking penetrated by these seats every time we go down. Like,
so yeah, you know, I don't mind a bit of roughness, but then some rides, when it becomes like painful, like actually painful, then you're like, yeah, nah, fuck this thing.
Well, there we go. That's, if we're done with that, that's the end.
Amazing.
Oh man,
grand ending. I think that's definitely shorter than last time.
Less editing for you then, hopefully.
And Lewis doesn't have to worry about it being like fucking 8 o'clock at night when we start and we don't finish till fucking midnight or something.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's it. I still have an evening. I still have a Sunday evening.
Got any plans? Good. What are you going to do tonight?
I don't know. Maybe watch a film or two with the missus.
Ooh.
Which again, I can actually do now because it's early enough that...
Because I haven't stolen your evening from you.
It's fine.
Well, thank you all for watching. Sorry, listening.
Watching?
Well, it's on YouTube.
Man's been recording us secretly without telling us.
Yeah, webcams are on.
My webcam has a plaster over it.
A plaster?
Plaster, yeah.
A plaster? Oh, a plaster.
A plaster.
A plaster.
I was going to say, it just seems very un-Geordie of you to say plaster.
Well, what the fuck do you call it? It's a plaster? That's what it is?
No, it's a plaster.
It's a plaster.
I mean, I'm northern. Jake's like Midlands-ish, right?
Yeah.
It's a plaster. Yeah.
A plaster?
Yeah.
It's just that's just really jarring, Jess. I'm sorry.
Tell us in the comments if it's plaster.
Oh, why I, man? I fucking grazed my elbow, man. Has anyone got any fucking plasters to put on the fucking wound? It just doesn't work.
Okay. Yeah, man. Fucking shut up.
Thank you for listening to Theming and Meming, the most immersive audio experience outside of IMAscore. See you next time for more memes and immersive themes. Breadcombs. I have no idea what that means.